All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire basketball podcast. Yeah, we're back. It's been a bit, but we're going to talk about the basketball first half season, obviously, and other things as well. Check us out, as always, mwwire.com. Conference play starts, depending when you're listening to this. Maybe it already started. Maybe it's not, because it's January 2nd, about 10 to 11 a.m. Mountain and Pacific time. And, obviously, Jeremy Moss, Eli Becker, we're here. We're ready. Are you excited for more basketball to maybe figure out who's good or who's not good, or who's worse and worser?
Yeah, I know. It's been a little bit of that, huh? I'm excited to flip into 2019 and see what's going to happen in conference play, because, I mean, even if everyone's terrible, it's still going to be exciting because it's Mountain West basketball, so I'm looking forward to it.
Is it better than Pac-12 basketball?
Yeah, I think so.
Better be.
From an excitement level.
Oh, that's gonna be crazy. So here's what we're doing. We've been away for a little while, so we're going to kind of do like a mid-season recap a bit, look forward, talk about some newsy type stuff, like, hey, Steve Alford's fired. Interesting. UCLA, mm-hmm. Former Lobos coach who ran out of town because he loses to Lipscomb. Obviously, talking about Musselman, maybe, which, spoiler, he's probably not going there, just so you know. But we will discuss that. We'll go over Eli's 9 bold predictions, which one was already gone in game 3, such as, yeah. We'll start there. The Mexico is Mountain West's final undefeated team.
It's not the best thing I've ever written.
Hey, these are bold predictions. I make bold predictions. Hey, if it's a safe prediction, who cares? It's not noteworthy.
I really felt that one could have been right, though. It's too bad. But it's fine.
Because they ended up losing game 3 versus New Mexico State twice, actually. And then they lose to, like, yeah. It depends how good you thought they were, because St. Mary's is a little bit better. Colorado, they could have won. Like, they could have gone up until North Texas, but whatever. That's one of them. So, what's your, like, the first half of the season, what's your biggest surprise?
I think the biggest surprise, I guess I can have one that's, like, a positive thing and one that's a negative thing. I would say that I think the biggest surprise has been Utah State. I've been impressed with what they've done, and I was not as low on the Aggies as many other media members were, and you were actually pretty high on them, too. I believe you had them
I had them, like, one or two spots higher than you. I got to double-check, but yeah. I wasn't – maybe top half, but, like, I'll look and see instead of rambling.
And I'm pretty sure that they were 9th in the media poll, only ahead of Air Force and San Jose State, and as of right now, they look to be – at least the third best, if not the second best team in the Mountain West. And they open up conference play at Nevada, and I don't expect them to win that game. But if they're able to keep things close, I think Utah State has done more than enough to prove that they're a legitimate contender. And I don't think that they're going to unseat Nevada. I just think the Wolfpack is just so much stronger than everyone else. But what Craig Smith has done his first 2 months, and Logan has been very, very impressive.
They haven't. See, losing especially. Imagine if they had Kobe on their team, man. Whew.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That would be over. He's over hanging out Marquette right now. They're probably a positive surprise. Them and Fresno, first-year head coaches doing their thing. Mm-hmm. Where nobody thought, like, even Fresno, they lost to Sean Taylor for a bit. I think he's finally back. He is back from the dislocated elbow, I believe.
Yep.
So he'll be back for league play. He's kind of easing his way back in. Them and Fresno State, or excuse me, Utah State, are the two biggest surprises. I'd say with you more than Utah State, because the media picked them 9th. I'm pulling up my projection here. I think this is what you and me did way back in late September. We had – you put – obviously, you're all caps breaking. Oh, that's media. Sorry. That's not our prediction. Sorry. oh, that's a different one. Never mind. I can't find – I think I had them once but higher than you, but neither of us had them.
I think it was 6th and 7th. I'm fairly sure we had them 6th and 7th.
I'll just say this. We were all wrong along, first of all. We'll say that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Utah State doing what they're doing, losing their best player, new head coach. And it'll be interesting. Here's the thing about the Nevada Utah State game. One of my bigger disappointments, I'll start there, is Nevada's starting crappy in the first half because it hasn't caught up to them. And you can say, oh, it's a positive because they're able to overcome, which is good. I think it's better than blowing people out by 20 at the half and winning by 25 every game. They do have to show resilience, like last year versus Cincinnati versus Texas, that New Mexico nutty game at the Pit last. Was that last year or the year before?
I think the year before that, yeah.
Whatever. Still, some of those players, a couple are still on that team, or at least Musselman coaching. They've had to overcome that, but that's kind of a disappointment. They're winning, but not. It's like, how much can you win by to really care? But I think at some point it might get them if they have a bad night somewhere. And I don't know if it'll be Utah State, because it's at home, right? The opener?
Yes, it is.
So, and we'll get to how they're going to play, but that's kind of a disappointment for me because they shouldn't be. I don't know what the deal is, but it's just not a good. Like, that's just one of my few disappointments for them, for the league overall. Just they're kind of, oh, we're down 10 to Grand Canyon, we're down 15 to USC at the half. Come on.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that, and I think that that can be viewed as both a negative thing and a positive thing because I've said many times throughout these first few weeks that although Nevada is 13-0 and has double-digit wins over multiple Pac-12 squads, even though they're not the best teams, but they have a lot of wins.
Arizona State beat number one Kansas, but then lost to Penn.
Yeah, it hasn't been like the highest of high in terms of quality wins, but they are beating decent teams on the road and away from home by convincing margins, even without playing their best basketball. And I think that's the thing that impresses me most in a way about Nevada is that I still don't think that they've put 40 minutes of quality basketball together yet. It's more like 10 minutes of pretty poor basketball. They're usually training by double digits, as you say, and then they go on a run and then they can coast the last 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes of a basketball game and win by 10 or 15 points. And that's kind of been what's happened in most of their games to this point. And that's another reason why I don't think that they're going to go undefeated in conference play. I do think they slip up at least once or twice because they do have this tendency of digging their own holes, and all it will take is probably an off-shooting night and the other team getting hot, and that will result in a loss. But even so, Nevada is just so much better than any other team in the conference this year. It's not even close. And as good as Utah State and Fresno State have looked, and Nevada is clearly the class of this conference and should win the league regular season title with ease.
So what's that game where they what team has the player to say, okay, we're up 10, we're up 12, because that's probably going to happen occasionally, that can hold them off? Is it, here's the thing, they play Utah State at home this upcoming week, they go to Fresno State, maybe it's Deshaun Taylor, who's that guy on a team where, and it could be any team, like, even, not to say, I like Justin James a lot, he does good things, but I don't think Guam could be that team. He's a scorer, but not the team. What team like has that player at both that can do that, you think?
I think Utah State matches up pretty well against Nevada. I'm looking at maybe that final matchup that they play this year that's on Saturday, March 2nd in Logan. Nevada has two games after that. But that follows a stretch where they have to go they start home against New Mexico, then they have to go on the road to play Wyoming and San Diego State, then they're home against Fresno State and UNLV, and then they have to go on the road to play Utah State. So that's a pretty tough stretch of five games, and I don't know if fatigue will be a bit of a factor then, but the way Utah State plays, they're not going to do anything super flashy, but they have physical guys. They rebound the basketball pretty well. They have a good go-to scorer in Sam Merrill. So it's not like I would take them in a seven-game series, but Utah State does have it in them to potentially beat Nevada at home if the cards were able to fall in their favor.
At the Spectrum, maybe I should go up to that game possibly, because that game probably, very good chance, could decide the number one seed.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a good game. And I think Utah State isn't just a flash in the pan right now. I think they do have what it takes to be a top three team in the conference this year. I don't think they just got lucky in league play as some teams do.
No. So you think they're that good just because who they've been playing, they're legit?
Yeah, I think. Do you mean Nevada or Utah State?
Utah State.
Yeah, I think Utah State's pretty legit. And they looked good in the first half at Houston. And Houston, if I'm not mistaken, has the longest home non-conference win streak or something like that.
They're still undefeated, aren't they?
They're still undefeated as well. They're 13-0. And Utah State handled that game for the first half, and then they went cold.
Yeah, they had that big lead. And then Arizona State, they had a chance in that one. Free throws was a mess. And then BYU, I think that was the first game Nick Emery came back, and they're all pumped. And him and Yoeli Childs are really good. Like, Yoeli Childs could be the best player out West, maybe All-American potentially, and they lose by 15. But that was part of it. Nick Emery game one back after his going to Harry Potter World for suspended for nine games.
BYU just shot the lights out that night. And then they have the blowout win against St. Mary's. That was a huge win for them.
It was, yeah.
And they've pretty much manhandled every other game.
Weber State's pretty good. They beat them by 10. Or not 11, I mean. A neutral site 9 or whatever.
And UC Irvine, who was undefeated at the time, they got blasted by 24, and UC Irvine was the home team in that one. So Utah State has proven that they're a pretty good team. But still, it's Nevada's conference to lose. I think everyone can agree with that.
All right, let's go to the next. Do you have the score? Can you pull up while I'm doing this? Can you pull up the scoring averages for Wyoming basketball real quick?
Yeah, of course.
Player stats only. because let's go back to our your bold projection list.
Okay, I got it. Yep.
Justin James averages 25 points a game.
All right, so it was around, I think, 24 and a half a few games ago. He's at 22.4 right now.
Maybe?
It's still possible. I think the scoring average tends to decline a bit once the players reach conference play. I could be wrong on that, but it just seems to make a bit more sense.
It could be you play teams twice typically, so round two may not be as easy as round one.
Yeah. I still think he pours in like at least a 35-point game or something like that.
We get a 50-point game.
Yeah.
40-point game. Let me go 40. What do you think, 40 maybe?
40. It could happen. Do you think it would happen? I think you said it would in the preseason.
It's going to happen versus like Air Force or something.
Okay.
No. Well, Air Force – no. Air Force won't allow for the possession for that to happen. Maybe New Mexico or UNLV.
Yeah, I could see it happening.
More likely New Mexico because they want to score, they can put up points when they play pretty good. Another one real quick is what do you have? 353-pointers for – those are three different players. That one – we'll get that one later. That's going to take time to look up. I should have done some better research. But basically
Wait, who are the players again? Jessup, Merrill, and Mathis?
Mathis will combine for 353-pointers to make, obviously, 353-pointers.
Okay, I can probably pick this up pretty easy.
Because you have Merrill who has – I have right here. He's made 29.
Okay. This is gonna be hard to track because we're only like halfway through the season. Yeah, all right, we'll come back to that one later.
Yeah, we'll come back to that to another podcast. We'll actually do different things. Let's get to another one here because these are fun. So far, you're okay so far, not too bad. Just the New Mexico one's a pretty big swing and miss. That's okay. all right, so next, let's go to another one. I think this one maybe already exceeded expectations. Nico Carvacho, 15 double doubles. Does he already have that?
I think he's – well, I'm pretty sure he's currently averaging – yeah, he's averaging 13.9 and 12.4.
Done deal.
So that's looking pretty good.
Could he seriously be like – I know the Rams aren't that good this year like a lot of teams since we don't know who team 3 through 10 is essentially or 3 through 9. He's probably one of the most underrated players at the moment, I think, in the league because he gets about a block a game, makes a double-double. The Rams should be better with their scoring capability. Jeremiah Page and Anthony Bond are doing pretty good, but they're just not getting the wins. What's up with them, do you think? Are they a team that could upset somebody?
Yeah, I'm somewhat surprised, even though I was higher on Colorado State than almost everyone in the preseason, I'm surprised that they've been struggling like this. And they've come up short in some close games. They had a 3-point loss to Long Beach State, a 5-point loss to South Dakota, 6-point loss to Colorado. So they've been close, but I think that this is still a pretty – young team that is trying to figure things out under a first-year head coach in Nico Medved, and it's not going to happen overnight. They were terrible last year, and so they have a lot that they need to build upon. But at least offensively, they've looked a lot better than what they have under Eustachian. Just looking at their effective field goal percentage last year is 314th, and that's all the way up to 124th right now. So they've done much better offensively, and I think that'll translate to some wins in league play. So they probably have enough to maybe hover around 500 if things turn around a bit. But like I said, it's been a bit of a disappointment when their best win to this point is on the road against Florida Gulf Coast.
Oh, boy. Oof.
and going back to the Carvacho thing, he has 8 double-doubles to date so far out of 13 games.
And he had 13 double-doubles over 20 appearances last career-wise. And he said 15. I think he does it. I think so too. Maybe 20.
He had 16-9 against Florida Gulf Coast, and he had 10-9 against New Mexico State. So he could very well have been at 10 at this point. So I think it does happen.
Here's one that will happen. San Jose State wins a conference game. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because they, for a week stretch, were very close to beating a couple of bad Pac-12 teams. And who was it? Cal and who was the other one?
And Stanford.
In Stanford, they hung with them pretty close. Then they get blown out by St. Mary's, I think. Was that the last non-conference game for them?
Yep,
they lost right. like 20 or something?
They've been close. I've been pretty impressed with what San Jose State has accomplished. And they're still, if not the 11th best or 11th team in the Mountain West, and then they're 10th. But they've been really close away from home in a number of matchups. And they've led late in a handful of these games, too. Like they were close against Southern Utah and Weber State and CSU Bakersfield. They lost on a game winner. Central Michigan, they lost on a game winner. All of these games are on the road. And then Stanford and Cal, who, although they aren't very good Pac-12 teams, still power conference teams, playing in their home arenas. And San Jose State lost those two games by a combined 13 points. So they've been close and competitive.
All right, so KenPom has zero conference wins for them, projected-wise. Do you have their schedule in front of you?
I do.
Oh, on KenPom, do you have it?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I was going to ask you a question.
Mean, you can ask me. I can flip away from it, though. Well, it's not like I have it memorized.
Yeah, okay, fine. Do that. What's their most likely winning conference play? You have two answers because two teams are tied at the same percentage.
Well, I think if I had to choose a game that they would win, I would say home against Wyoming.
Okay. That's not the highest one. That's number three.
Home against Air Force then?
Air Force and CSU are both 46%.
Okay. I could see them winning any of those games.
I don't think they'd be – I just think Wyoming like maybe too high in Justin James, but we'll see. They'll get a couple wins. I'll say they win three conference games.
Yeah, I like that. I think at least two or three. Against Wyoming, they could have some trouble if Justin James starts to pour it in. But I think against Air Force, when they don't really have that sort of go-to guy, or Colorado State, which has struggled, I just think they do pick up a couple wins. And maybe not even at home necessarily, because they've played a number of road games in non-conference play and then have looked pretty competitive. So
yeah, they've had five road or neutral games. Every single one has been single digits, every single loss, except for the St. Mary's, which actually was a 30-point loss. Sorry.
Yeah.
I gave them credit 20. Because, yeah, Weber State was 8, Cal State 1 point, 2 point, Central Michigan. So they've been close for those games away from home. So there's something to it. All right, let's go to our next prediction here. Let's see. We'll look at this one later, but Trayshawn Thurman starts more games than Jordan Brown.
I think that's already mathematically guaranteed to happen.
I believe so. Jordan Brown's been okay. Has he even started the game? Maybe like two, I think? A couple?
Jordan Brown has yet to start a game.
Oh, I thought he started one or two. Okay, my mistake.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Here's a good one. Get ready, Rebel fans. You're going to hate us. UNLV only finishes ahead of San Jose State and Air Force. Obviously too soon to tell, but that puts them at ninth, essentially.
Yeah, I think UNLV has not impressed me that much so far, but I don't think that this is what's going to happen anymore.
I think they're going to probably about top half. Again, that 4 through 10 or whatever. Where they've been playing, they've been okay. It's like everybody else. You can say, oh, I've seen a good thing for team A, B, C, A through whatever, but they see a lot of bad things. They beat a pretty good BYU team at T-Mobile, but then they lose to Bucknell by 20. It's in Bucknell's not very good, 150 KenPom. The LMU loss isn't that bad because they're actually pretty good. But, Cincinnati close, Illinois close loss. The only really bad loss, I would say, is, the Bucknell one. Maybe Indiana State, which is they're about the same ranking, essentially, overall. But they haven't had nothing terrible on their schedule for them, at least relative to where they are perceived to be.
Here's the long-term issue with UNLV, though, is that Shakir Jusen just had season-ending knee surgery.
That's right.
And so he'll miss the remainder of the year. And then you have to really start to figure out who's going to step up in his place, especially in the front court, because I'm not entirely sold on the pieces they had coming into the year outside of Shakir Jusen. And when they shoot the basketball as poorly as they do, they're 258th in effective field goal percentage and 312th in turnover percentage. When you play such a high-tempo basketball and you can't score points, then that it gets really hairy
in
the second. It's a major problem because they've had issues jump shooting for seasons now, and if they can't get nightly points out of their key contributors, then that's going to be quite a big issue. And just losing Shakir Jusen is really unfortunate because I think he's just such a presence and game changer, and I would have liked to have seen what he would have done with this year's team, but UNLV has to move on from that. But I do think that they finished better than ninth, especially with what's happened to teams like Boise State and Wyoming. They've certainly fallen off quite a bit. I think UNLV is more competitive than those two.
True. The Las Vegas Sun is amazing for their what they're writing about Rebel basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So, title's fine. Mountain West Slate offers first real test of Mendy's long-term plan for Rebels, which, to me, code for you better win a conference because your non-conference play has never been very good, so your only chance is to win league games, right?
Yeah.
First two. Marvin Menzies was hired by UNLV to build the Running Rebels into a Mountain West powerhouse. That's the first sentence. was he? Or was he just the best guy that was not that, that didn't turn him down or jump ship like Chris Bird and now lately over the weekend, Manny Diaz going to Temple for a couple days now to Miami for football?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was the same sort of situation. You know, I have had people ask me the last couple of weeks with some of these UNLV losses how warm the seat is getting for Marvin Menzies. And it's kind of hard to tell with UNLV where they're at as a program right now, because I know that they still want to be elite and one of the strongest programs out west, but I mean the last decade plus has been pretty rough for this program and not what they're the product that they're used to putting out on the floor. And I picked up that stat, and I'm pretty sure I sent it to you this past week about Tim Duryea and Marvin Menzies and how they've compared.
Yeah. Similar record, I believe. What, same win-loss record just about?
Yeah, I have it right in front of me. That Tim Duryea was 48-49 in 3 years at Utah State. And, of course, he was fired this past March, which paved way for Craig Smith from South Dakota. The projections have probably changed since I tweeted this out, but KenPom had UNLV finishing the season 15-15, which would translate to a 46-49 record, which is worse than what Tim Duryea did at Utah State over 3 years. So you have to kind of compare those two things, and I know it is different in terms of expectations and just everything else that goes on with the program, but UNLV has slipped into mediocrity, at least as far as the program goes over these last few years. And if it continues, you have to wonder how long Marvin Menzies is going to last in Las Vegas. I think that's just the point that's being made here.
Well, here's the thing, too. The league, it's not like it's been great the past 4 or 5 years. They've had one bid outside of last year, was lucky to get two. If you can't win now, when are you ever going to win? When assuming the cycle is not going to trend down forever with one, maybe two teams if somebody upsets in the tournament. Conference tournament. So if you can't, they brought in Brandon McCoy, 5-star guy. They could clearly bring in players. Is it? I know he only stayed 1 year, so that's hard to build when you bring in rotating, occasionally one and done guys. Like even going back to number one pick where Bill Simmons went nuts.
Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, Anthony Bennett. Bennett to the Cavs a while ago. But if you have, so they could bring in talent. Is it a coaching thing? Is it the surrounding talent? Because the league's down. If you bring in a guy like that last year who's on like the U.S. team for what, FIBA U19, I believe it was, during last year, played pretty well. What does it say about is the coaching issue? You can't progress that top-end talent? It's something – there's a lot of things where this is the perfect time. If you're a team that can bring in really good talent, but you still can't get it done with a league that's down, what, is it ever going to happen again?
Yeah, I mean, it's something you have to ask because – eventually programs get labeled as something else that they weren't previously. And what I mean by that is maybe UNLV is riding a bit of the momentum that they still had during their so-called glory days, and the attraction of Las Vegas helps with recruits.
That's
and all
almost,
that
1990 is 30 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, but it's
just saying
it's, yeah. And it's, I mean, but I think it's part of the program and that it's what they aspire to still be in the future, but you can recruit well enough that it can get your coach fired, because if you continue to bring in top 50 classes and you can't win 20 games, then that falls on the coaching because, I mean, the talent is certainly there. And I think the talent has been there for UNLV, but their biggest issue, at least in recent years, has been having that talent remain on campus. They've had so many players transfer out of the program, declare for the draft without winning any tournament games, and it's just a continuous cycle of rebuilding and reforming rosters. I think that's what's made it such a challenge for UNLV to get to that 20-win benchmark and compete for NCAA tournament berths. And I mean, if it continues and Marvin Menzies isn't able to turn this around, I think his days in UNLV his days in Vegas will be numbered as well.
Is he going to make it past this year?
I think he does, because I'm pretty confident that UNLV finishes above 500 and in the top half of conference play.
Okay.
But if neither of those things are true, it might be worth looking at someone else for the head coaching position. So I do think Marvin Menzies lasts at least one more year, but if things go south in conference play, it could get interesting.
All right, want some good Rebel news?
Yes.
Hey, Reb logo is on its way out. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. How long was it even here?
Man, they didn't even use it, really. Maybe a year, I want to say. And they paid, you know, they paid some local graphic design like $50,000 probably to come up with that design.
Oh gosh!
And so that's on its way out. But heck, if you're in the Vegas area, apparently Dick's Sporting Goods has all the hoodies like basically half off. So you get a nice, hopefully warm hoodie that you'll definitely wear in Vegas year-round for $25.
Do you think that's going to be like one of those – I'm going to have trouble coming up with the word for that, but do you think it's just going to be one of those things that other programs continue to taunt UNLV with for over the years for such a terrible logo that they designed?
It's – why not? Go for it.
Yeah. I have seen a number of Nevada fans do that the last few months.
Just might as well. All right, so let's see what else we got here in your list. Let's we'll get to other stuff in a moment here. Mountain West title will be decided the last day of the regular season. No.
No.
We can move on. closest maybe as I did mention, depends how Utah State. The Utah State Nevada might have something in line, like I alluded to. Maybe it's for a number one seed. Mm-hmm. Probably not, but that's not the last day either. So.
Yeah, and my intention of that was to have Nevada and San Diego State competing on the last day, and that is certainly not going to happen at this point.
And the final one, we'll talk other stuff, Nevada Final Four participant, TBD.
Yeah, I think it still looks pretty good, though.
Just defense. Get better defense. That's all I got to say. Come on.
Yeah, and don't fall into these double-digit pits early on. I think it would make things a lot easier. But, I mean, Nevada's tough. They're still looking like a Final Four team.
They are. They, cause, like I said, if you're behind by that many points and you're able to come back, that's a good test for when you're playing. Because realistically, their next real challenge will be what? Round, assuming they make it to Sweet 16 round? Like, if they go... Not that they'll go undefeated, but probably they'll be a 2 or 3 seed regardless, unless it was like 5 games. They're probably going to be a 2 or 3 seed. If they're a 2 seed, their tough game will be till round 3. If they're a 3 seed, maybe that second day, that Saturday, Sunday, round 2. But there could be another 2-3 months before they play a team that's even close to their ability.
They'll be favored in each of the remaining 18 league games. Every game that they play in the Mountain West tournament and at least the first 2 rounds of the NCAA tournament, I would assume.
Okay. All right. Should we talk about Musselman real quick in UCLA?
Sure.
So, Steve Alford out, which is not surprising because apparently everybody hated them on this team. Former Lobo coach, by the way. He's gone midseason. Good news and bad news for Nevada fans. Bad news, Musselman's never going to be hotter at the end of the year because he's going to have an amazing year. Can have probably any job he wants. He makes about $1 million a year, which is pretty good in the Mountain West. UCLA, however, probably not going to hire him because it looks like they want Fred Hoiberg, who just got fired from the Bulls, a few weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
So he looks like he'd be the top choice. There's other guys. Like I did a piece about what guys Jeff Goodman, other people are saying about who they're going after. Almost everybody says Musselman could be a consideration, but he's nowhere close to being like even their top 3 choices.
Interesting. And I think UCLA could go in a number of directions with that. I don't think that they go with Musselman. I just don't know if his personality and his style of coaching fits the tradition of UCLA, so to speak. I do think it would be a really good hire for the Bruins, but if Musselman is offered the job, I would gently assume that he does take it.
Yeah, because he's going to be called. He'll be contacted at some point. There's not going to be – unless they get – even if they want Fred Hoiberg, they're not going to make a decision in February. They're probably not going to make a decision until – I don't – if it's
– like the Final Four maybe?
Well, maybe even before that because UCLA's not going anywhere. They're not going to the – I bet they can make a hire the day after they're eliminated from the Pac-12 tournament if it's Fred Hoiberg.
That's true.
That would make – it'd be simple to do. If it's anybody else like a current coach like Musselman – and who are the other guys they've mentioned? Shoot, they're not going to get Mark Few. They're talking about, isn't Jamie Dixon, TCU, possibly somehow in the mix for some reason?
Yeah, Jamie Dixon and Mike Bray from Notre Dame.
Mike Bray. They're going to call Tony Bennett. He'll say no at Virginia, even though that would probably be the best move for them.
Yep.
But, yeah, what do you say? Mike Bray, Notre Dame, Chris Beard possibly, our good buddy Chris Beard.
yes.
Kelvin, maybe Kelvin Sampson of Houston, since they're doing pretty good. But here's the thing why – they may not be able to lure over a big coach. UCLA pays like garbage. Do you know, Eli, what coach makes the most money in the Pac-12 in basketball?
Is it Sean Miller?
No. Larry Kraskowiak of University of Utah.
What?
He got a contract deal like a year or two, I think 2 years ago, extension. He makes he's top 10 nationally, like $3.3 million, I believe it is.
Is that any sort of recency issue there?
Part of it, a recent contract, but not due to recent success on the court.
Yeah. Wow, I would not have guessed that. I would have guessed at least Altman from Oregon before him, and maybe Hurley as well. That's surprising to me.
Now, here's what you said. Tate's put out five coaches who could replace Steve Alford. Musselman, Marshall, Hoiberg, and Billy Donovan is what they really want. That'd be awesome. Tony Bennett. But one reason why Musselman could be an eye, because UCLA pays, like, my point to money, UCLA, not that $2.6 million isn't good, which is amazing, and would more than double his salary, even though cost of living would be an issue, just change, but overall just dollars to dollars would be 2.6 to 1. Whatever you get over at Virginia, you get to take that money, which is still good money, but it's not what UCLA never pays what its peers pay, obviously, by Larry, University of Utah head coach, getting that much money. And then they don't take transfers because, you know what, UCLA actually, not that Nevada doesn't, but it's a pretty smart school to get into. So it's not like you can come in year one and year two and bring in recruit transfer guys or JUCO guys who are really good because of whatever academic requirements are needed to get to Westwood.
Yeah, so that's another red flag right there, and probably another reason why Musselman likely won't go to UCLA, but we'll see.
Let me ask you this. Will he be coaching somewhere else next year?
I don't know if a high enough profile program will open up in the offseason, so I do think that there is going to be some discussion between Musselman and UCLA. I don't think it's going to happen.
Me neither.
I think he at least stays for one more year because, they still have a number of good pieces coming back, even with all the seniors leaving. Now that they can have Lindsey Drew back, they'll probably have Jordan Brown back, some other transfers coming in. So they'll have another top 20 roster next year. So it won't be a Final Four type team, I don't imagine, unless something crazy happens. But if I had to guess right now, I'd say Musselman is probably back in Reno next season.
What if USC opens up? There's a possibility.
I don't think it does.
No?
No, I think Enfield sticks around. I don't know if Musselman would take that job.
Here's what I could see could happen. Is you're right, it has to be a pretty good coach because $1 million is still good. It's still not chump change. I know Musselman hasn't stayed around in many places, partly because of CBA assistant coach, NBA coach. Like, he fits some good guys to the NBA. We'll see, because Caroline's still chilling in the G League, even though he blew up at the showcase, I think, 2 weeks ago. We'll see what he does, but he get the guys to the NBA. I think what could happen, like, you're right, it will take a pretty good job. Like, a couple dominoes have to fall. Remember Arizona State assistant there, if Bobby Hurley goes to UCLA? Maybe. What do you take, go back to Arizona State?
Yeah, it could happen.
That's what I think more likely. Like, it's some sort of domino effect.
That one does seem more likely. Or if something happens with Arizona and Sean Miller, and Miller has to go.
FBI related.
Yeah, with all the FBI recruiting scandal and such. I could see Musselman potentially take over for Arizona. And that is a name that has been kind of floated around with Sean Miller if he were to leave.
Yeah, I think it would take either, like, you're right, a big coach or like a domino effect of, it depends. I think it all starts with UCLA because no other big job, like big school job, is going to open up, I don't think, most likely. Like, there's a maybe USC, maybe Arizona with that stuff. Like, anybody else, like, that's great. Like, he's always been essentially West Coast. Not that he's going to stick out West just because when he was at the Kings, and then farthest East was what, LSU assistant coach when he's out there. And so it's like, there's not many. Would he go to Texas Tech if Chris Beard goes to UCLA? Probably not. I don't see
that. I wouldn't see that happening either.
So I think it depends who UCLA hires, assuming it's not Musselman. And if it's Hurley, that could probably be a biggest concern for Wolfpack fans.
And I think with Nevada, this is already now the longest position he's held at any of the stops that he's made. Because I think prior to Nevada, he did not stay in the same position for more than 2 years. So whether that means that a position change is going to come soon, or whether that means he's there for the long run. He has said that he likes it in Reno and wants to stay there, but every coach will say that in season. So yeah, obviously. I don't really think that says much. It'll be interesting. Yeah,
I'm looking real quick. I guess 3 seasons, because 02 to 04 Wikipedia exists. This would be his longest tenured job.
Well, how about this? Because we know that last spring, Musselman talked pretty extensively with California before Cal hired Wyking Jones. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that Musselman backed out of that. It wasn't Cal backing out of it. So
yeah,
I don't know if that can lead you in any other direction in terms of what may happen. But he did have significant interest in the Cal job, it did seem, until things went further along in the interview process.
I remember his wife's out there. He's been out, not the Sacramento, Berkeley, terribly close. He's been in that area for quite a bit, like in that northern central California area. So, but he also has two stints at Reno. He's the Bighorns head coach as well, about 5 years ago, 8 years ago now. So we'll see. I don't know. It's I'd say relax. Don't worry about it. I don't think too many Nevada fans are worried about it. Focus on a potential Final Four run, which would be awesome. So, yeah, it'll take a bit to happen. So let's go to let's look a little bit forward here. Who did you put really quick number four in your list? Was it our power rankings? Was it San Diego State again?
Yes, it was.
Is it because they have the most talent, you think?
I think that they're the team that is most capable of finishing fourth in the league. I couldn't put them ahead of Boise State because Boise's had so many issues. UNLV, again, New Mexico has been a disaster. So you have to pick someone, right? San Diego State is probably the best team, but their lack of depth and defensive issues still concern me.
Cal State Northridge lost, or not lost, but almost lost to them.
Got killed by Brown.
And Brown's like, I get like people were killing me like, oh, you first node lost UVU. They're like 140. Yeah, they're like 140 KenPom. But Aztecs, or not Aztecs, Mexico, sorry, wrong team here. Lose by 20 to Brown. UVU game. UVU's not terrible. Like, I know people know I love Mark Pope. UVU's not great. They're probably going to finish third in the WAC behind a pretty good Grand Canyon New Mexico State team who are probably about top 100 overall. But
at least the game was competitive.
It was, yeah, that's the thing. It's competitive. And, yeah, the other losses are probably better when you compare them. Like, because their losses to, I'm trying to, my schedule, my thing's being weird. New Mexico State, 68, KenPom. St. Mary's, they're all top 100 losses, but they lost North Texas by 9. And then Penn by 10. It's like, and Penn's about the same level as UVU. Both were at home. So, the difference is Fresno's not losing those games when their competition isn't as good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big difference for, now, Lobos might, for me, finish fourth overall. Maybe. I think they have the chance to do so, but right now it's like there's no way you can put them on par with Fresno or Utah State. Because, like I said, Fresno State, excuse me, blew out a pretty good Weber State team. They crushed long. They beat Cal by 22 points. They beat Tennessee Martin, whatever, by 40. They're beating these bad teams who they should be beating. Pacific was overtime, which wasn't great at home by 3, but they beat Northwestern, which is their best win. Is Northwestern still the best win by any team in the conference, Eli?
Unless you want to go with like one of Nevada's wins, like maybe Nevada's win over Arizona State.
Ken Palm's 47, and so I'm just curious. I don't have it in front of me. Where's Nevada? I took him off my screen here, but
yeah, Arizona State's 50th. But you could kind of, I don't know, go whichever way with those two. I would like Arizona State over Northwestern if they were to play.
They beat Kansas, so there you go.
Yeah.
So going forward, we have some games this week, and I guess our schedule is guess we're gonna try to go once a week. Is that the plan? Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll figure it out, right? That's what we do.
Yeah.
So we got a bunch of games today. We got previews up. We'll have picks every game day. We'll have recaps on the scoreboard type stuff. So let me pick a game here. We'll play our fun game here of BPI.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's here's an interesting game. Colorado State UNLV, which is if you're listening, it's Wednesday night, 7:30 Pacific, CBS Sports Network down at the what's it called now? It's still Thomas and Mack. Who do you think's favorite in that game, first of all?
I think UNLV is favored.
Oh, where's BPI? And, shoot, I don't have it here. Crap.
And if I were to guess a percentage, I would say, do you have it? Wait, do you have it pulled up?
No, because I click on the pick center thing. It doesn't do. Give me a second here. What do you? Okay, yeah, okay. UNLV is favored by 9.5. I'll tell you. I'll give you that because that's correct.
Okay.
Come on, BPI used to be so closely.
If I were to guess, I would probably say like 77%. I can't remember if BPI seems to like UNLV or not. I think they do.
Oh boy, 85% BPI.
85%. Okay, so they're confident. Yeah, bring back Tarkanian. They're ready to go.
The Tark Show. Oh man, really? That seems extremely high, doesn't it?
KenPom gives UNLV an 81% edge, so it's rather consistent.
Let's do this really quick because we're gonna wrap up here. We don't want to go through every game. I just wanted to pick one game. Maybe I'll pick a Saturday game. Really quick here, but okay, so New Mexico at Air Force, I'm gonna go Lobos.
Yeah, I like the Lobos as well.
Boise at Wyoming,
I'll go Boise.
Me too. I think I should look at my picks, already made them. Fresno, San Jose State, I say Fresno, but it's a 14 point line. I think Fresno won't cover though. It's on the road slightly down the street.
I picked Fresno State straight up for sure, and I do think I picked San Jose State to cover.
Same here. We already talked Rams. Rams. Rebs. I go Rebs. Cover? Maybe not. It's close.
What'd you say? Was it 8-point line? Nine point line?
9.5.
I think UNLV covers late.
They should, but I don't think. And then you get Utah State, yeah. Nevada by 9. Whew.
I think that Nevada's going to win. I think Utah State has a decent chance of covering.
I think I picked Nevada both to win and cover. The only concern, again, if they're struggling or behind into that under 16 timeout second half, then it could be interesting for at least a cover wise.
I think it'll be somewhere between like an 8 and 12 point win for Nevada.
All right, so you're close. All right, let's go to Saturday really quick. We're going to blast through these and wrap this bad boy up here because we're not bad, 40 minutes. Nevada, okay, hold on. Let's get another BPI game here. Hold on. So we got Nevada, New Mexico, Air Force, Utah State, San Diego State, Boise State, CSU, Fresno, Wyoming, UNLV. Eli, pick the one you think you're most confident in projecting the BPI.
In terms of, pick a BPI game?
Yeah, which one do you want to go with? Because it's always exciting.
I think the most challenging matchup to pick is probably the San Diego State-Boise State game, so that will not be the one that I choose.
Okay, that's fine.
Wyoming at UNLV, I say UNLV's like, okay, if they're 85 against CSU, then they're probably about 92 against Wyoming.
Okay, let me pull it up here. 90, you say 92%.
Yes.
I don't have, what's the KenPom line there? Because I don't have that in front of me. It's not showing here.
UNLV is a 9-point favorite on KenPom, and I didn't look at the percentage before because I didn't want to cheat. Okay. Oh, it only says 80% for KenPom. So
what was your number again? You said 90 plus.
92.
You're close. 90.8.
Ooh. Okay.
Getting better.
Okay. If we were to choose a San Jose Boise State game,
let's do that now.
Do you have that one there?
I will in a second. What do you think?
That feels like.
It's first of all, it is a game that is being played at Boise.
I would say Boise State 51%.
Not bad. You're getting better. 56.
Okay. Oh wow. Okay.
So basically, home court by a little bit. Mm-hmm. So those are fun games. So I'm just curious about those because GPI is always exciting because you never know what's going to come.
You never ever know.
You're getting better at that. All right. So let's go. I guess we have to run through these games super quick just to see who we're going to pick and. Not that you should wager anything substantial on this, what we're doing here. Just say, hey, here's who you guys think. They're probably wrong, but we never know. I say Nevada over New Mexico easily. It's at the pit, so.
Actually, no, I think New Mexico covers.
What's the line? What's KenPom line?
KenPom is 16.
Okay, 16. Yeah, okay, I see that. Utah State will beat Air Force.
Yep.
I say Boise's going to beat San Diego State just because it's at home.
I like San Diego State in that one.
It'll be close because these games. Also, we need a overtime game and maybe a couple clock counts in this one. Clock stoppages.
Oh, he went there with it.
Of course, why not? It's also up back at Boise, and if you're wondering, it's only $4 to get in. So go, stay warm inside Taco Bell Arena.
That sounds fun.
I think Fresno beat CSU.
Yeah, I think that could be a blowout as well.
And UNLV will be close for Wyoming. But still,
so wait, do you think UNLV is going to you have UNLV winning that one?
It'll be close. I think they'll because maybe I'm too high on Justin James, but I think I think they'll do it. But it'll be reasonably close, like within 7 points. It will be they'll win. It'll probably be like a free throw at the end to the free throw shooting to win. But I think it'll be reasonably close to like it's within 10 points throughout. But it'll be like one of those games where UNLV will be up by a couple here and there, but it'll be close but not seem close. If you know what I mean.
Okay, I think I have a suspicious feeling that this one ends on a game winner. I think UNLV wins, but I think it could be pretty tight.
They're going to have two game winners in the same year?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it before that game they I made the Dave Rice joke. They were like 2-17 in game winning three-pointers or game ending possession plays or something.
Oh, gosh, yeah. They had a number of games last year that ended poorly down the stretch.
And extended to this year because they had a couple like that. So I think we covered everything today. Musselman, scheduling, midseason, looking at your predictions, which are a couple still TBD, like Final Four, San Jose State victories, and the conference play. Anything else we need to add, or are we good to go?
No, I think we're good to go. I'm excited to get things going.
All right, we got league play coming up, so that means we'll have more previews. I know some games slip through the cracks because when you're playing New Year's Day Cal State Northridge, maybe we should have written about it, but we didn't just because it's New Year's Day and other things. And stick around for basketball. We will have, we're starting, I need to announce it now because we'll get to basketball in April or May. And Mountain West at 20? We already know who our best player is, so it's not a competition. But we're starting football, I believe, January 14th, third Monday in January, or second Monday in January. We're going to do this for basketball, but not till the end of the season, because, heck, some of these players right now could be on the all-time team.
Very well could be.
So the plan is what we're doing for right now. This will translate for basketball. We're doing an all-time team in the Mountain West. So say Utah State's time only in the Mountain West, or Fresno State's time, or New Mexico's time.
Okay.
So the best team within the Mountain West will go probably two deep. Basketball easily two deep, maybe more. We'll do an all-time Mountain West team, which includes even Utah, BYU, TCU, all within the conference. So you know who's going to be on that list, a couple of those good guys. So like Jimmer, who's not too bad. Maybe Brandon Davies will be involved some way or another, and some probably the all-time BYU list. But we'll go through all that. We'll go through – here's what's tough, Eli. We're going to try to do top 100 games for football. We got to
– Oh, man, okay.
Here's what we're doing. Here's how we're figuring this out to make it easier for basketball and football. Each team, if we – is it easy enough to pick 10 games per school, right?
I think so.
So what we're going to do is probably it's going to take 10 games per school, take that pool of games and narrow it down and get rid of, like, say, 20 to 40.
Yeah, that sounds good.
An easier way than going through 100 games and going, this game, one of the best games ever, I'll say it right now, is that comeback Nevada versus New Mexico. That's got
to
be up there.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be top five.
Up there, the rematch, one of the most hyped games, which I don't remember how it lived up to the hype, but the top 10 San Diego State BYU matchup, Kawhi versus Jimmer.
Yeah, I think that game was kind of a mess, but there was a ton of hype, so that's fun too.
I remember that.
Are we only counting games between two Mountain West teams, or can we also include like tournament games and bowls and stuff?
Now you get crap.
Because I mean, we have to have Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, or Texas too. No, and maybe LIU or Chicago. It doesn't have to be between two Mountain West teams. It has to feature a current Mountain West team at the time of game being played.
Gotcha.
So that game would count. So even BYU playing Florida in that Elite Eight game, maybe it's in there because that was an overtime game. Pretty good. So stuff like that. As long as I had a Mountain West team at time of play, it counts. So look for that. That's not until like May. We're working on football now. We're going to do some other storylines like screwing up on Gonzaga, Wichita State, That type of stuff.
Nick Duncan's the best athlete the conference has ever seen.
Oh, we got to do a Nick Duncan feature, don't we?
Things like that.
Maybe we should.
We have to.
We'll get him on the podcast. I think we'll work on that.
Oh gosh, that would be awesome.
So we'll get him to we'll get that worked out. I didn't even think about that because I'm so focused on the football storylines at the moment. We got like 4 months to do that, so we'll get going. So that's what we're doing. So be on the lookout for that for football and basketball later in the year. If you have any suggestions, just tweet us to MWC Wire over there. And thanks for listening, downloading. Go to MWWire.com, read all of our stuff. Subscribe if you want to rate us, saying we're great. That'd be awesome. If you appreciate it, tell a friend or two. And we'll be back, I'm assuming. We are recording this on an odd day of the week. Should we be back midweek, or how should we? Well, we'll talk afterwards. We'll be back shortly for our next basketball podcast. So we'll not be 2.5 weeks in between, folks. So see you next time.